Now this time I'm going to ask our brother Gary Robinson to come up and share the message that God has put on his heart. I'm sure we all know Gary. So without further ado, I'll have him come up.
Well, it's certainly great to be here. In some ways, it's almost like old home week. We've heard of that. Some of you I have not seen in a number of years. And sure great to see you. And just to be able to reminisce a little bit about the past. But anyway, time quickly passes. I'm really waiting for the eternal state. I'm waiting for heaven because just think of all of those people that we're going to meet up there someday. And what a great reunion. And you know what's going to be the most wonderful thing is that you're going to be changed. So I'll be able to get along with you up there. I want you to turn with me today, if you have your Bible with you. I'd like to go to the book of Ephesians, the epistle to the Ephesians. Last week we began by reading in chapter 1, and today we're going to read in chapter 3. Another prayer of the Apostle Paul's. If we go back to chapter 1, let's just do that, please, because really we're continuing on from last week. If we go to chapter 1 and we break in at verse 18, what does Paul say here? Let's break in at verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may, what? Everybody? Know him. We may know him better. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to read just verses 18 and 19. And I say that I got to back up because I don't have the whole verse here. Verse 16. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long, high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And may God bless the reading of his word today. Shall we pray? Father, we come into your presence this morning. We come realizing today that we really only have the right to approach you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through him we come today with confidence, knowing that your ear is not heavy that you cannot hear, neither is your arm short that you cannot save. Lord, God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we just want to thank you this morning that you're real, that you want to be present in our lives. You want us to experience you day by day. We just thank you for this time we have together this morning. We want to thank you for the preservation of the scripture down through the years. And Lord, today that we have the living word of God as our possession. And Lord, as we look into today, we just invite your Holy Spirit to take your word. And Lord, make it real to our hearts. And Lord, today, before we leave this place, may we make that determination in our hearts that we want to know you better. Lord, have your own way today. Be glorified in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. As I met different folk this morning that I haven't seen in a long time, some of them shared with me, one person said and offered this information, I've got Alzheimer's. We sat here today to hear that Sister Doreen lost her brother this week, and Doug Foster, both these guys I have known, passed from time into eternity. Doreen herself, right now, is being treated with cancer. I hugged another individual today to respond to me by saying, you know, I am single. And I had to respond by saying, yes, and God bless you. Maybe you're sitting here today and you have a rebellious child. Maybe you're sitting here today and you also have gone through a divorce. Maybe here today, and I know there's some here that are widows and widowers. In my life, sad to say, but I have had 4 suicide funerals. 1 murder victim. Down the line we go. What a world we live in today. Folks, the reason why I'm painting this picture for you, this is reality. This is life. Probably if the truth be known, and we ask everyone here today, do you have any aches or pains? Yeah, most of you. I don't know whether you're sleeping. you know, they talk about people who, you know, they kind of drift off. They're in the land of Nod. In the land of Nod. Why do I say this today? Why do I introduce this in my introduction? It's for this very reason. The only way I can understand all of this is through the Scripture. I can only understand this as I go back to the Word of God, and I believe that God's Word reveals to me why we live in a world that's so disappointing. A world in which we see decay. A world in which is totally broken. Oh, is this all there is? Oh, folks, it may be all there is for the here and now. But you know what the Bible tells, when I read the Scripture? When I go into the book of Genesis, I find in chapter 1, it starts out with a garden. Isn't a garden a beautiful thing? But we know that something not so beautiful took place in the garden in Genesis chapter 1. That was paradise lost. When I come to the book of Revelation, the very last chapter of the book of Revelation, I'm in another garden. And in that garden, we're told that all things are made new. Now, we live in a broken world. But folks, this is not, it needs not to be the only world that we're going to experience. I believe as we live in this world today, with all its brokenness and strife and rebellion, and folks, evil prevails. Ah, there's a glimmer of hope, and it did not catch God by surprise. We looked last week at the subject of God's goodness. In spite of all that happens in the world, He is the standard of goodness. God always was, He is, and will be. God will be good. And you might answer, well, then why is life not so good if God is so good? Well, the answer really lies in the fact that it's not God's problem. Something happened that brought this upon us. But you know, one of the things that God did And God knew even before in an eternity past, as I said, it didn't catch God by surprise. God obviously knew in his foreknowledge what was going to take place. So what did God do? Did he abandon humanity? Humanity abandoned him. Humanity rebelled against God. And this is why man wanted to be as God. Let's just stop there for a moment this morning, dear friend. You know what most people's problems are? They choose to be God. Oh, you say, that's far from what I even think. No, it's not very far away from how you think. Why? Because you choose to run your own life. You choose to do it your way. You don't choose to do it God's way. When God made that prohibition in the garden, what happened? Well, we know that Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God. They went against God. They chose to listen to the enemy. And so today, as we see why the condition in this world, God has a resolution, I shouldn't say resolution, God has a plan to resolve that problem. And that all comes out in the love of God. Do you know something? I don't know about you here today, but I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up. How many of you ever had rebellious children? I remember a family years ago. I knew their son. One day he left home. Never saw him for years. I hadn't seen him, I don't know how many years, until I was at his dad's funeral. And there he stood in the line for visitation. He came back. See, in his rebellion, he left and didn't return. And so that's really what the scripture says, that man is on a pursuit away from God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. Man is doing his own thing, and really the problems in the world today, we can't blame God. People say, well, when such and such happens, where's God? Oh, folks, God's never moved. God has never changed. God is still the God who is good. He is still the loving God. And God has a solution, an answer. But the problem is, because of our hearts, we don't want to accept God's remedy. And God provided a remedy. And you know, one of the problems too, and why I brought this out, were a rebellious child. Because we see that in Adam's rebellion, he went away from God. And you know what God wanted to do? He wanted to reconcile man back and women back to himself. What is wrong with the world today? Folk, maybe I'm making it just too simple. But then again, I'm preaching. And that's the only way I can understand it. Ah, you know what the problem is in the world today? Man is on his own collision course. Man is doing it like the days of the judges. Man's doing that which is right in his own eyes. And you know what? If man would have obeyed God and listened to God, paradise would never have been lost. What would it be like to live in a world today, folks, where there is no separation in relationships? What would it be like to live in a world today where there is no sickness and pain and strife and any evil at all? Just to think that families could get along with families. You could leave the key in your door a weekend in our... Oh, I shouldn't tell you that. See, we're just on the outskirts of the promised land where I live. And we still believe in the Ten Commandments. But you know, you could leave your keys in your automobile. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful when there's full trust? But you know what? Yes, in this world, it's not going to be, but the hope that we all have, and it all centers in God's love. And God's love was demonstrated. God's love actually was foretold in the Old Testament. God told his people Israel that he loved them with an everlasting love. And we go back to some of the Psalms, a couple of the Psalms, as the psalmist continues through in each verse. It ends with, His love endures forever. God's love. Now, maybe let's just stop there for a moment before we move on. We talk about God's love demonstrated, or even God's love foretold. One thing we can be assured of today, folks, is the fact that God loves each one of us. I want to just read something I came across this week, and I thought it was beautiful. Our first big mistake. Excuse me, I'm on medication for my mind. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It makes me dry. Do you have a humidifier around here? I know what you're thinking. I know exactly. Drink up, brother. It won't be so dry. Sorry about that. One of the greatest mistakes that we make is that we measure God's love for us by our present circumstances. Have you ever heard that before? Sure you have. You've even thought it. God doesn't love me. Why? Because life is tough. Life is disappointing. And he goes on to say, we reason that if things are going bad for us, then God must really hate us. Untrue. If the birds are singing and the sun is shining and we are happy, then God really loves us. We also usually assume that God works only through the successes we have and not through our weaknesses and so on. In spite of our circumstances, God is love. And today, even if we disobey him or we obey him, guess what? His love never changes. We're going to talk about that a little later. Secondly, the author brings up this. He goes on, he said, at the same time, it's hard for us to understand that if God really loved us, then what exactly is his purpose for allowing so many bad things to come into our lives? But faith in God does not mean trusting God to stop the bad storms in our life. Oh, there is a teaching. There used to be a teaching that prevailed. If you live right, guess what? It's all going to be right. Wrong. Wrong. I've lived long enough to say you can live right, but guess what? Life may still be bitter. Let's move on. I'm going to find my spot here. Okay, by faith in God does not mean trusting God to stop the bad storms in our life. Faith and trust in God are things which enable us to walk through those periods of hurt and sorrow and come out victorious. We must trust God and believe that when troubles occur, he is going to give us the ability to cope with it. Folks, I've underscored this. We are wrong if we expect belief and faith to be an exemption for suffering. You know what? I'm amazed. There is a God. And you know why I'm amazed there is a God? Or no, I shouldn't say amazed. You know what I'm amazed about what God does? This morning, our first song was all about love, wasn't it? I didn't talk to the song leader. I appreciated those songs this morning because they blended in or they tied in with the subject of who God is. God is faithful. But you know, I was talking to a sister earlier this morning. I do talk to men incidentally, okay? But you know something which really touched my heart was this sister who is suffering said, in essence, I can't remember verbatim, but you know, in essence, Christ suffered. We as God's people are going to suffer. Okay? We're going to suffer because of physical pain or ailments. We're going to suffer for the name of Christ. Suffering It's not a word that's taken out of our Christian vocabulary, even because we trust Jesus. So two things we need to keep in mind. Number one, that God loves us by our present circumstances, and we are wrong. We are wrong if we expect belief and faith to be an exemption from suffering. I was just checking. I suppose you heard me say this. You know what it means when a preacher looks at a clock? Nothing. That means absolutely nothing when a preacher looks at the clock. Now, you know, with all this modern technology, I'm sure each one of you have got a unit that, or, you know, is probably on your phone that you could turn the oven off while you're sitting here in church, right? Or timers. So that really gives us an excuse to just keep on keeping on. See, back when I started out, that wasn't the case. If I was invited out for Chris, do you have a timer on your stove? Chris, I'm going to your place for dinner. I will quit on time. Okay, I'll quit on time. Oh, there's so much we could say about the love of God today. And that's what I want to conclude on thinking. John says in the epistle, God is love. Can you just stop for a moment and just think of one, what is the definition of God? Or the definition of love, pardon me, it's God. Today, folks, it doesn't matter who you are. Someone who is involved with ISIL, God loves them just as much as he loves you and he loves me. Isn't that amazing? Oh, God doesn't love sin. No. But God's love, oh, why we were yet sinners. What did the scripture say? Somebody help me out. I like participation. Where I preach all the time, I expect participation. You know why? It tells me that people are awake. Because some people can sleep with their eyes open. Parrington, I know you can, okay? Now, yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, let's just back up a bit from where we started out. We live in a disappointing world. But God, out of his love, even though man went against God, even though man rebelled against God, even though man had idols and worshipped other gods, you know what God did? God had a plan. And his plan was foretold right back in Genesis chapter 3. And as we come through the Old Testament, if we had time this morning, even through Abraham, you say, well, how is it through? Oh, he said, Abraham, you know what? Your seed is going to be, oh, look into the sky. See all those stars? Yeah, you're going to see 2,000 stars, I understand, with a naked eye. And it's, I think somebody counted, I don't know if they counted or not, but 1 plus 27 zeros, there's over that many stars in the sky. And he said to Abraham, look up, see all those stars? Your descendants are going to be as great as that number. Abraham, just look down on the ground here and see all those little particles of, yeah, well, that's your descendants. And because of you, the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Now, in that prophecy, where God telling Abraham of what was going to happen, Abraham is the father of whom? The Jewish nation. Who was Jesus? He was a Jew. And we know that the world has been blessed through a Jew that came through Abraham, David, the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, God's remedy was foretold. God's love was in action. God loved Israel. God loved the world, but God had a plan, and his plan was centered in his son. And if we go back into the Old Testament, I was just reading this week again, I was reminded, there's some 300 prophecies in the Old Testament regarding the Messiah. Oh, folks, if we don't think that God doesn't love the world, we are totally wrong. 300 prophecies in the Old Testament were fulfilled in the Messiah. God had a plan. God loved the world, and he was going to love the world through his Son. God was going to demonstrate his love. Not just tell the world, I love you, but God was going to demonstrate it in the person of his Son. But oh, some people say, oh, but wasn't, did if God was a God of love, why did God do that to his Son, Jesus? I have an answer. We go to the book of Corinthians, and you know what it says? God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Right? God was in Christ. What did Jesus say? I and the Father are one. Now, God sent his Son. Now, when it comes to the Trinity, it blows my mind. But you and I'm simple enough this morning. You're going to believe that I'm a redneck. Well, I am, and I'm proud of it. My brother's a redneck. My sister's a red. No, I better not go there. I was talking about Royden, okay? Oh, yes. God was in Christ, the Trinity. Some people say, you know, God, wow, I find it, I just can't get my mind around it. Oh, folks, that's the kind of God I want. I don't want a God so small that I can understand. See, the God that I have is a big God. He's a God that I can't. I can't comprehend. And this morning we read from Ephesians that when it comes to his love, wow, we just can't comprehend the love of God. How vast, how immense. Oh, he says his prayer is that the saints would know something of the heights and depths and breadths and, you know, all the dimensions there of the love of Christ. And folks, I've been saved 50 years. Now, I know you don't believe that. I look very young. I know that. But you know one thing I want to tell you in my journey? I have never discovered the depths of God's love. And I never will. And I don't want to. Why? Well, because in human relationships, oh, that love sometimes can be very shallow, can't it? That love can be broken. Oh, I want to tell you something this morning about relationship. The only relationship that's secure, the only relationship that's secure is my relationship with God through his person, Jesus Christ. That's the only one that's going to last for all eternity. As I love my dear wife, someday, well, it's probably me because she'll probably murder me. I'll probably go first. But bless her heart, our relationship is going to be severed. And you know, and there's people sitting here this morning that never ever dreamt that their relationship would ever sever because they're a child of God. They were serving God. And guess what? Their human relationship was severed. Oh. But you know what? Our relationship with Jesus Christ, our relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ is totally secure. And you know what's beautiful? It is eternal. God loves us with an everlasting love. I don't have all the time, or don't have time to, and I'm not complaining, I'm just saying that we see that God's love is eternal. You know what that means, never ends. God's love is beyond understanding, we touched on that. God's love is measureless. God's love was foretold. And God's love was demonstrated 2,000 years ago in the person of Jesus Christ. I just want to read something this morning. Just the young people will enjoy this, possibly. You know, today, Christianity, we're laughed at, aren't we? You burn a Bible, and what do we say? Nothing. Burn the Quran, and guess what happens? Folks, your life is in jeopardy. You say, why does that take place? Because Jesus was peaceful. His message was love, wasn't hate. And we're going to go take all kinds of abuse just because we're a Christian. Because we don't, you know, it's not with a sword. We don't fight with a sword. Oh, we have another battle. Oh, but this is the one that we should really be fighting. And what battle is that? it's not with flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers. See, we have a spiritual battle that we're involved in. But our battle is not with flesh and blood. But you know, today, our young people are so indoctrinated. Remember last Sunday I said, you know, evolution is just a fact. But it's a fact. It's only a theory, it's not a fact. And yet, it's presented as that. The undermining of Christianity, you know, the very fact, well, is there a God? Is there Jesus? Well, I want to read something here today. And I've heard this not only from John Murray, who was the president of the American Atheist Association, I believe, it says. It's quoted as saying this about the historicity of Christ. There was no such a person in history of the world as Jesus Christ. There was no historical, living, breathing being by that name, ever. The Bible is fictional, non-historical narrative. The myth is good for business, he says. Now, isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? You say, well really, was there a Jesus? Well, I just have just some simple little thing to throw to you. Now, I don't know if we write out many checks these days. How many don't ever write out a check besides myself? Because my wife does it. Okay. Do you know when you write down the date? Do you ever think of this? By the way, what day is it today? See, you're supposed to know because you're a lot younger. What's the date today? I'm sorry, And it is April, right? 26th of April, 2000 and what? Oh, when did we start dating from, folks? Oh, B.C. A.D. Now, A.D. is not after his death. That's in the year of our Lord. B.C. before Christ. Wasn't it amazing? It's amazing. It's something. In everyday life, people acknowledge by writing down there was a B.C. and an A.D. Now, we go back to some of the early historians like Josephus. We don't need to go there today. This is not an apologetics class. I'm preaching at you today. God was in Christ, what? Reconciling the world. God had a plan, and that plan was all in his Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Whereby that we may experience the second Eden, and that way is only through him. See, God loves the world. The answer, the remedy, the answer is so simple. And yet man chooses to believe a lie rather than the truth of God's word. You know, I wish folks today, when I take funerals, I just wish. Sometimes I wish I was a liberal preacher. Just listen to me for a moment, please. And I could say, you know, that old reprobate that I'm burying. No, he wasn't a sicker. No, he wasn't a sicker. Or Robinson. But you know what? Wouldn't it be nice to say, folks, it doesn't matter how you live in this life. God loves you. And guess what? He's just called one of his children home. And they're going to be with him. He's just enjoying heaven and all that God has in store. There's people who preach that message. But folks, according to the word of God, they're wrong. They're wrong. God is a God of love. God did provide a way through his Son, Jesus Christ. We must come through God's way, not our way, if we're going to regain or experience the second Eden or the place that is going to be in all things new. Right? I'll take an amen anytime. That was a weak one, I'll tell you. See, I really get warmed up when people say amen, amen, amen. I even get louder. Folks, is God a God of love? Oh, he certainly is. And he demonstrated it 2,000 years ago in the Son Jesus Christ that we might have eternal salvation. And folks, without it, without trusting God's one and only way, I wished I had another way to say this. But if we don't trust him, we're lost. And we remain abandoned from God throughout all eternity. Wow. But you know, if we trust him, the Holy Spirit comes within us. And you know what he does? He allows his Spirit to come in, and we experience something of the love of God. That's why we can live victorious over the tragedies of life, is we begin to see life. We're trusting God and believing that God knows best. God has an answer, or God has a reason, excuse me, for these things. And you know what? I can live victoriously in a broken world. Not on my own strengths, but through his. Just in a few moments remaining, God's love is foretold through the scripture. God demonstrated his son to, or his love 2,000 years ago by sending his son into the world. And I made a statement last week that I'm going to back up today. Maybe you weren't expecting it. I said, we would know nothing about God unless first God took the initiative to reveal himself. Okay? God's revealed himself in creation. That's what the scripture says. God revealed himself through his word. God revealed himself through his son. And what I said last week is I believe that God wants to reveal himself through the church, through God's people. And you know what the scripture tells me? When I go over to Matthew chapter 25, you know what I read? Now, I know when this judgment took place. I believe it's before entering into the millennium when Christ comes back, okay? And this is what it says. Remember, he had there's brethren mentioned, and I believe that's the Jewish people. He talks about the sheep and the goats. Now, follow me. And you know what he says? Somebody says, when was I hungry and you didn't give me any food? When was I thirsty and you didn't give me any water? This is Jesus as the judge. You were in prison and you didn't visit me. And you know what Jesus said? If you do this unto the least of my brethren, you and I believe we are today as a church. We are the arms and legs of God Almighty, that is his people, because by his Spirit, we have his Holy Spirit living within us, and that's the only way we can demonstrate the love of God, because our human love is pathetic. But how can we love this world? How can we love God unless we have God's Spirit within us? Folks, today, we are God's arms and legs in a broken world. Do you know what Jesus said to his disciples? Here in that you know that you're my disciples, in that you what? Bicker among one another? You fight amongst each other? You love each other. No, I'm not talking about this you know, sentimental, gushy, I could give you a definition. Oh, yeah, I have to give it to you. Love is a funny thing. It's something like a lizard. It wraps its heart, or its arms around your heart and nibbles at your gizzard. You want a verse that, you know where that's found in the Bible? No, it's not. No, it's not that kind of love, because God's love is it's agape love. It's a sacrificial love. Oh, it costs. It costs us something. What about the story of the Good Samaritan, folks? Remember the priest, the Levites went by, but this Samaritan, he stopped. Go home and read the story, please. What do we find there? Oh, we find that man showed the love that these religious leaders didn't. Love is a verb. Should be a verb in our lives. It's something we do. Irrespective of who the person is. What did he do? He poured in oil and wine. He put him on his donkey and took him to an inn. He said to the innkeeper, look after him. I'll pay the tab. I'll pay the tab. Another story, another parable I love is what about that runaway son? Maybe you're here today and you're like the runaway son. You've left. You've sown your wild oats. You know, you realize that, hey, listen, it's not what I thought it was, doing it my way. Oh, I just want to go home to the Father. And I just want to be just a hired servant. Father, would you take me back? Would you take me back? The story tells us of what? It seems that Dad was looking every day for that son. And what did Dad do? Dad ran and fell upon him and kissed him. He was so glad to see his son return. My dear friends, today, when a person follows God's way and comes to repentance and trusts Christ and has eternal life, becomes a child of God, you know what takes place instantly? There's a party in heaven. What does the scripture says? The angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Do you know something? If you're here today and you know Christ, you cause some joy in heaven one day. Yes. I want to conclude the story with a story. Chris, is it on or not? The roast is on? Okay. I can always go to McDonald's, Chris. If I can just find it here. Well, I have it. Just bear with me. Okay, here we are. Yes. New Tribes Mission reports that on the way, one group of Bible translators came to communicate with the fullness of God's love to an African tribal community. The verbs for a particular African language consistently ends with one of three vowels, explains Dennis Farthing from the New Tribes Mission Training Center. Almost every verb ends in I or a or you, but the word for love was only found with I and a. Why? No, you. Dennis says the Bible translation team included the most influential leaders in the local community. In an effort to truly understand the concept of love in this African language, the missionary began to question them. Could you DVI your wife or love your wife? Yes, they said. That would mean that the wife had been loved, but the love was gone. Okay? Could you DVA your wife? Yes, they responded. That kind of love depends on my wife's actions. She would be loved as long as she remained faithful and took care of her husband. And then the third one that they were trying to find out about, could you DVU your wife? Everyone in the room laughed. Of course not, they replied. If you say that you would have to keep loving your wife, if you said that you would have to keep loving your wife no matter what she did, even if she never got your water, never made your meals, even if she committed adultery, you would have to keep on loving her. No, we would never say DVU. It just doesn't exist. Then this missionary sat quietly for a while, thinking about John 3:16. Could God DVU people? There was complete silence for 3 or 4 minutes, and tears started to trickle down the weathered faces of the elderly men of the tribe. Finally, they responded, "Do you know what this would mean? This would mean that God kept loving us over and over while all the time we rejected his love. He would be compelled to love us even though we have sinned more than any people. The missionary noticed this that changing one simple vowel changed the meaning from "I love you based on what you do and who you are" to "I love you based on who I am. I love you because of me and not because of you." Do you think that we need to grow in God's love? Wow. Asking God to give us the ability to love like he loves. Oh, our love is so shallow, so empty, and obviously incomplete. May God today, just remind us how blessed we are that we know him and that we have experienced his love in the person of Jesus Christ. And that we understand, you know, the mess we live in from day to day. And yet God is an answer. And that answer comes in the person of his Son. And folks, paradise is going to be gained. Paradise lost, paradise gained. Shall we pray? Father, we just want to thank you for the good news. The good news that we find in a verse in Scripture that we've probably all memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Lord, in the midst of all that is around us, we can come into a secured relationship with yourself that guarantees us that we'll never be separated from you. And Father, we're going to experience someday your presence, and all things are going to be made new. Lord, I just pray today that as you challenge our hearts here this morning, that we may have individual who will respond and say, yes, I've been doing it my way. Now, it's time in my life that I do it your way, Heavenly Father. I'm going to obey you, trust your Son, live for him, so that you might be glorified through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask your brother to come back, and he's going to conclude with a hymn, please.